it's well said, as Dave said a while ago, it only happens at Echo Hill. And so what I love about this congregation is that we don't meet the norm. You go to some churches and you show up and they have to move and there's a lot of complaining, grumbling because you're not in the auditorium. But that's not what the auditorium is about. It's about being together and worshiping our Lord. So the blessing is being together. We could be outside in the cold. As long as we're worshiping the Lord, that's all that matters. And so I am glad that Echo Hill has a building that doesn't function properly. I'm glad that we have kids that cry. I'm glad because you know what? Church is not perfect. Church is not for the perfect. It's for those that are trying to strive together to get to heaven. So what a blessing it is to be here this morning. With that being said, Wednesday night we were kind of finding out who would preach, and so I stepped up and said I would take this Sunday as we get our new schedule going for the rotation of our preacher. So I hope that Dave doesn't count this as mine and I lose out on an opportunity later on and have to wait 6 months to preach again. A couple of things to note real quick. I got a text from Blake a little bit ago. Caleb and Sarah and Blake have arrived in Syracuse. They're going up for Christmas, and he just told me that Caleb now has joined not the Mile High Club, but the Mile Cry Club. Apparently it's a spreading joy around. We've got Maddox is upset, Charlie was upset, Caleb's upset. So who knows what's going on. You would think it's not Christmas time with all the crying going around, but I want to focus on something this morning that has just been on my mind, some thoughts I have, and when it's all done, we'll package up a nice little bow and you'll have a gift or something. You know, we've mentioned a lot this morning that Chris mentioned these things. This is a time of season where you hear a lot about Christ being born, and I'm under the opinion, just like Chris, is that, you know, we could get caught up in the whole, well, the scholars say that he was born somewhere around the spring. But really, in all honesty, it shouldn't matter. We should celebrate Christ's birth, and we should celebrate it year-round. We don't. And so that song, Oh Holy Night, why not be sung in March? Or why not be sung in July or October or whenever? Because in all honesty, if we went through the whole thing today, we looked at his birth, his time on earth, his death, and then, of course, his resurrection. But then when are we going to think about the resurrection? Oh, Easter. It seems like we've let the tradition of holidays dictate when we think things. We just got off of Thanksgiving, and everybody's like, oh, we need to be thankful for what the Lord gave us. Now Christmas, it's the joy of giving. It's the time of his birth and this. New Year, we need to get our lives right. Easter, let's celebrate his resurrection. But in all honesty, we should do that 365 days out of the year. But I'm not going to complain because I love seeing the fact that Christ is being mentioned on TV in this world today. And that's something that's living. I saw something on Facebook. They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas because of, or to get rid of the word Christmas. It's the holiday season because we don't want to offend those. But you know what? Here's my statement. You can take Christ out of Christmas, but that's not going to stop Christ from being alive. So you can do what you want to take him out of this world, but he'll always exist. And what an awesome statement to serve. So let's have a little fun this morning. Traditions of Christmas. I have now recently gotten into a relationship with a girl who loves Christmas, and I'm the opposite Christmas. It's a good time of the year, but I'm just like, man. So there's traditions. I have one tradition that started with me and my dad several years ago, because Christmas Day, in my opinion, when you get older, is one boring day. After the presents are opened at the crack of dawn, what do? Everything's closed. Everybody's got to go to their families. It's like, hey, And so TV's full of nothing, you know. It's just the day. So me and my dad would used to go to a movie together on Christmas Day. That was our tradition. Thankfully, the movie theater opened. When Dad passed, Mom and I picked up that tradition. And so we now go every year. That's our tradition, is to go to a movie together. And that's something that's very special to me is the time, because most people have huge meals and time with family. I'm not putting it down. If that's your gig, that's your gig. But for me and Mom, it's just a simple time to get out and go enjoy each other's company. And it's just about being together. I think about other traditions. And my favorite Christmas movie is a comedy. It's Christmas Vacation. And I think about some of you, maybe it's the Christmas tree. I had to laugh in my head. Kristen said that this year they wanted to go get a real tree. And every time I think of a real tree, the movie comes to my mind. And I think, Who in the world wants to go trekking out? Well, we don't trek out in snow here. Who wants to go trekking out in the 50-degree weather to find a tree, which I don't even know if they grow Christmas trees around here. I don't know. I never looked into it. And cut it down and carry it back to your house and then have all that sticky mess and those pine needles everywhere. But for some, that's a tradition. Others, it's Christmas lights. If I'm not mistaken, Jared, did I hear that you needed somebody like Chris to come over and help you hang some lights?
I didn't have a ladder, so I needed help.
Okay, did you get them hung?
Yes.
Okay, did nothing happen like in Christmas Vacation where you fell or blew out somebody else's window?
No lightning coming out of the
plug. Oh, good. Did you have the drum roll when you lit it up?
No. That would be cool, though.
It would be. I literally went by my niece's house the other day, and across the street there was one of these houses. You've seen all that YouTube videos where these houses are decked out with music? I'll tell you this. You live next door to me, and you put those lights on, I'm pulling the plug. I mean, that lit up. I mean, they light up the place. So this one had a nice lit up. I'm like, man, that's a little extreme. Somebody spent way too much time in their yard. But then on the garage door, it said 91.3. I'm like, what does that mean? Am I some new code of Christmas? And so then I'm like, oh, I bet that's a station. So I turned it to 91.3. As I'm driving down the road, and there's Christmas music playing. Apparently, if you looked at the lights, it would go along with the music. But so maybe Christmas lights are a tradition, is decorations. Maybe it's just traveling. I'm sure a lot of you will be traveling. I know I'll be traveling on Christmas Day, following Jeff and Kim up into Ohio. That's where the party's at, apparently, is up in southern Ohio, out in the Lancaster, Athens area. But there are a lot of traditions that we think about, and that's what makes it great, because we get excited. But the number one tradition, and if I was to ask Ernest, because he's asleep right now, is what? What do you look forward to on Christmas Day? When you were a kid, Lily, what is awesome about Christmas? What do you look forward to about Christmas? Is there anything about Christmas, or is this a day to sleep in? Do you sleep in on Christmas Day, Lily? You do? Oh, well, that's a first. It's the gift giving, right? That's what the tradition's about, and that's what the whatever you call it, the marketing people cram on. Last night, I had to go do some Christmas shopping, which I'm a procrastinator, as everybody else, and I had to go into Toys R Us for something. Toys R Us used to be really cool when I was a kid. Man, this place is awesome. Went in there last night, I'm like, I can't stand this place. Nut House. I had to go to Walmart the other day for something simple, and it was like 25,000 people in line at the same time. I'm like, where all these people come from? And so gift giving. So I want to focus on something this morning, and that's going to be on the joy of giving. But I want to flip it from what we usually think about. And I got a little funny skit here. Hopefully if I get to pull up. They didn't actually play. This is just a little 2-minute video that the skit guys do. We've seen them before. And it's just about what we so often think about when we give gifts. Sorry about the thing. I didn't want to pay $17.
This is the story of two brothers. The brothers Marley. This year, like all other years, they gathered to celebrate Christmas. One brother loved the Christmas season, and the other brother, well, he loved the things that Christmas could bring. As the night wore on, the mountain of gifts seemed never to shrink. But as the fire grew dim and the cocoa ran dry, there remained but one gift left to give. This gift, however, was different than all the other gifts given that night. For this gift was given from the heart. Oh. lesson from the brothers Marley. While 'tis better to give than to receive, 'tis truly better to have a giving heart than to give anything at all.
I get to set the stage for what I wanted to kind of bring home as a message this morning. That is what Christmas has become. The mounds of gifts. The mounds of gifts. The mounds of people going in to buy gift after gift after gift, but there's nothing wrong with it. But the thing at the end where the brother gave him back something that was more precious than anything, the gift of their brotherhood, or whatever you want to call it, their relationship, being siblings. He was disappointed. And so often as we let this world continue to take and show us that Christmas is about how many gifts you get, we often get caught up in that game. And the reason that's been on my mind is I just returned from this year I didn't go to Honduras. First time in 5 years I didn't go to Honduras. Instead I went to Texas. Yes, I went to another country. I didn't have a passport to get into Texas. And I went down to the border area, right? I mean, literally, like, at one point I was telling people, my phone said, welcome abroad. And I thought, I'm not abroad. You better not charge me no $5 a month on my phone. But we were passing out Magi boxes, which, for a lot of your visitors, my role is at a place called Healing Hands International. And we do a lot of humanitarian relief internationally. And one of the things we do is a thing called a Magi box. And it's a Christmas box for a kid in need. And we give boxes to kids in Honduras and Zambia and Zimbabwe and then also in the country of Mexico. And so we were hanging out in the border area because in Texas, there's a lot of, right at the border, there's a lot of refugees that come in and whatever. Some are citizens, some are not. And we can get that debate. But we give out boxes to them. And we did it a little different. In Honduras, you go to a church and the kids come and they're excited and they're there for hours. Well, this one, the preachers did a little different. The Hispanic preachers did a little different. We literally loaded up boxes in the back of pickup trucks and drove through the neighborhood. I felt like Santa. It was really cool. We're driving through and they honk the horn and the kids would come out and we'd give them a gift. And the thing about it that really has stuck in my mind as I continue to try to get more and more people as my role at work to get people to do Magi boxes is the gift of giving someone joy. See, this box, which I helped fill like 1,800 of these boxes when I was in Texas before going on a trip, had nothing really big in it. Literally, it had a little stuffed animal, a bar of soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, a little outfit, and that was it. Nothing huge. But when the kid got the box, there was joy because it was a gift that they got. See, and Christmas is about gifts. A lot of us grow up thinking, what will I get for Christmas? But when you get older, doesn't it reverse to what can I give for Christmas? I think that's the case. A lot of you are my age and a little younger, so we're now learning. And a lot of you are now becoming parents. So you get the joy of giving. But isn't it amazing how you change your mindset? Do you? I don't really care if there's anything under my tree. Actually, there's nothing under my tree. I have a tree that's probably as tall as these Lord Supper tables. Got a couple ornaments on it, sits on my thing so I can say I decorated. But is it not about the joy of giving? Is that not really what it's about? Is giving to someone you love to show them that they're special? Before we get to our passage, which you might go ahead and turn to, so you're not flipping this thing, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll be looking at 6 through 15, and I know this is not really focused on Christmas and giving, but we'll look at it. But before we get there, some stories. I tell you, one of the things I love to do is a Christian radio station, I can't remember where it was in Texas, you hear a lot of them radio stations where people nominate someone to get a gift. These stations, these companies will donate to them. Have you seen a lot of those? Where it's like they write a letter and says, "Dear radio station, this year has been really rough on my friend's family. They lost their house, blah, blah, blah." And then they call the person up and they say, so-and-so is nominated you, and they tell a story. Well, I heard one that really made me get choked up on the way to work. when I was in Texas, driving the truck down there. And it was this story of this lady, a friend, best friend, that called this radio station and said, my friend has really gone through a lot. And she was sick and some house issues and everything. And they said, she loves to give. She would never nominate herself. She loves to give. And so the radio station calls her back or calls her up and says, your friend nominating, we want to do something special for you. And they gave her some, like, something, a trip or something. But they said, but really the biggest gift we want to give you is we've heard that you like to give to others. And so we're going to give you X amount of dollars that you can go and give to someone who's in need, because we know that that's truly what your heart desires. And the lady just lost it. Because she, when they first said, you all, it was like a trip somewhere where you get like a spa, a day at the spa. She's like, well, thank you. And you could just tell, like, thank you. But when they said, well, we're going to give you, let's say $100, I can't remember the amount, that you can go and give to someone else, she broke down in tears. I was on my way to pick up Lamarion for the basketball game yesterday, and listened to another radio station, a similar story. A little girl, 13-year-old, a lady had called and said, I want my daughter to have a Christmas. We recently lost our house in a fire. A year ago, she was diagnosed with a learning disability, and every time my 13-year-old daughter doesn't get caught up in getting down, she just says, I'm going to overcome it. And a matter of fact, she told me recently that she wanted to give away some of her old toys and stuff to people that didn't have anything. And it made me think how often there are people in this world that don't really care about what they get, it's about what they give. Cracker Barrel, I saw this on Facebook, Cracker Barrel somewhere, I think it's in Missouri. A lady that worked there, an older lady worked there, had a car, and I promise you, this car, it showed a picture of it, was like, the roof was like strapped down, strapped. This car was falling apart. It barely ran. This couple who had gone there, near Branson, Missouri, who had gone to the Cracker Barrel bunch, showed up one day and brought her out and had given her a new car. It was used, but it was a new car. And then recently I saw a thing with Memphis Grizzlies, one of their employees, somewhere in the Grizzlies organization had their car stolen, and one of the Grizzlies players gave them a car and replaced them. And there's stories like that after story after story after story after story that just touched my heart. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I preached on being difference makers. Do you remember that? We talked about making a difference. And this one just goes right along with it. When we get in our hearts and our minds that we want to truly give of what we've got, and it's not just money. Don't think it's just give money. We give of our time, of our encouraging words, of whatever. When we have that truly joy built down inside, we start giving that desire, our life changes. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at 6 through 15. We use this a lot of times, and I'm not up here trying to push for the Lord's Supper giving thing. I know this is used a lot, but I want you to think about this in the mindset of the joy of giving. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that as in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for your heart, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I know that's used in a different context, but I want want you to think in the context of is the old adage, it's better to give than it is to receive. Have you ever realized in your life when you give of your time, you give yourself to others because you love God, that God blessed you? Does he bless you in financial ways? Maybe not, but does he not bless you? And at Christmas, you know, as I think about this time where we give gifts to each other, wouldn't it be better if we thought about giving because not just to make someone smile, but because we want them to realize that we do what we do because God loves us? He says that any time you give and continue to give, you'll be blessed back. It said those that give of their seed so there can be bread will get back more. Is that not true with God? When we give of ourselves to God, does that give to God much more? And so as the holiday seasons continue to go around, your traditions you fulfill, when you think about a lot, think about the joy of giving. Think about what that means to you in your heart, and think about the blessings you have. I recently want to follow up with something as we close out before we go into the invitation. I recently have been thinking a lot. You know when you preach, you get up and you say stuff, and then sometimes you're like, man, does it really convict you? I've been really convicted about the difference maker lesson. I don't know if it's because I talked about a lot, but I was in Memphis the other day. I had twofold this. This is really cool. A girl came to Healing Hands back in the summer with Lipscomb something, medical mission, something. She's from a school, Memphis Central High School in Memphis. Central High School is what they go by. And she said, I'm interested in doing the Magi Project. And so, this is a New City public school. She had the desire, so her and her student, she was on the student council. Well, she had asked me to come down and speak. What worked out that I got my schedules mixed up and I couldn't do it. So I still went down and got supplies. And they had collected tons, maybe not tons, but a decent amount of supplies for Magi boxes. And so I was like, wow, this girl's a difference maker. But on the way down there, I stopped at an Exxon to get gas. And of course, gas is like me. I'm really bad about pushing because I'm like, oh, let's make it to the next stop. And in my mind, I get there and I'm like, and Healing Hands is going to pay for the gas. But I'm still thinking, man, it's like $3.19, $3.15. What do I get? $3.40 because I have to get it in downtown Memphis at an Exxon. Man, so bummed at that. Anyway, since I'm there, a guy approaches me. And the old adage, hey, can I have some money, blah, blah, blah. You know, you get them all the time. And in my mind, I went, no, I don't have any cash. And then he said, I don't want cash. I just want food. And then it was like inside me, something said, Sean, you're going to preach to people about being a difference maker. It's time you step up. And so I said, all right, hold on. And I said, I'm going to see if this guy really wants it. And so I said, let me finish pumping gas, but I really don't have any cash. I'll throw the card. I said, let me go in and we'll go in. And I went in, and lo and behold, he just wanted two hot dogs. And instead of a drink because it was cold outside that day, he said, can I get a bag of candy? Thankful, went on my way, he went on his way. And I'm not up here to toot my own horn, but what I'm saying is that it's awesome when you actually start to get convicted by the fact that you get joy from giving. And I walked away not only seeing this girl who had donated all these supplies, but seeing that there is difference that can be made and the joy that you truly have. And so I encourage you this season, the holiday season, and all through your entire days, always think of ways you can give to others. Because when you do that, I think you'll see God more and more in your life. And he'll continue to bless you. So I know it was a simple message. It was a little different than your traditional Christmas sermons that you hear. Hopefully it inspired you some. But remember this. We're all in this room for three things. One, because God created this world in the beginning. And he had a plan. And from the beginning, he said, I will bring my son to this earth. He will live on this earth to show that there is someone that is perfect. He will die on that cross for your sins. And that's not the end of the story. He'll rise up from that grave, proving that he is the true and living God. The rest of our life, we will live praising him and one day join him in heaven. And that is what the message is about. That's the gospel. That's the thing that we need to share with others and give to others. So this Christmas, let's give the gospel through our actions. Let's let others see Jesus. And hopefully we can bring more people into the blessings that he gives us. So this morning, whatever you need, whether it's to ask for prayers because you got things going on, or whether it's to be baptized, the invitation is always open, not just now, but 24/7. So come now as together we stand and sing.